Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode of Georgia Business Radio. We appreciate all you listeners out there tuned in here today. It is July 31st, 10 a.m., and we have another exciting episode on tap here for you today. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson, your host, and my co-host and producer engineer is Rich Casanova.
On tap, I got kind of excited when you said that. Yeah, it's a little early. I just got my coffee. What are you drinking over there?
Well, it is Friday. You know, weekend's here. We're ready for some time off after a good week here.
Oh, man.
At the Buckhead Business Radio X Studios.
And normally we just talk about the Buckhead Studio, but before we're on the air, there's been some big expansion going on in the Radio X brand, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. There is lots of good buzz out there. We just spent the day yesterday in Birmingham.
Wow.
In Birmingham Business Radio.
I saw that on Twitter and social media.
We interviewed a lot of great startups out there at the Innovation Depot and how they are really changing business in the Birmingham area and around the world.
And the Innovation Depot, that's like an incubator over there?
It is. I've been around for a few years, and they really have a good... It's an incubator and accelerator all in one. Can you do that? I'm not sure.
If you can make it happen, yeah.
Well, they are. They are. a great energy, a great buzz, and a lot of great interviews yesterday. And we've had some great interviews this week here in the Buckhead studio.
Oh, yeah. Here in the studio, we had the Buckhead Business Radio Show, our local show right here for spotlighting movers and shakers within typically the Buckhead area, but beyond. And then food and beverage has a lot of, we have that coming up again. A lot of activity there. Hopefully, they'll bring in some beverages or food.
Yep, no right? doubt about it. And make sure you tune in next week, 10 a.m. on Tuesday, for another episode with you on Buckhead Business Radio.
Yeah, we've got a great lineup for that show. So let's get into this show, and we'll get things underway. So,
all right, let's welcome a couple gentlemen to the studio. First, we'll say hello to Peter Stasio, right?
Yep, that's right.
Great, and you're with SpeakPage.
Yes.
All right, tell us just a little bit about that briefly.
So at SpeakPage, we're narrating the internet. We've created the world's first content narration platform, and we want to make it commercially viable for publications of all sizes to bring listening to their audiences. So a new way to consume content.
That is interesting, and we'll get more into that and find out all the details about that here in just a moment. But let's turn our attention to Gary Patterson, the fiscal doctor. How are you doing, sir?
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's kind of formally introduce Gary here. He helps business leaders find the million-dollar blind spot before it finds you, enabling sustainable, profitable growth. He has helped over 200 middle-market leaders who are tired of their organization being the best-kept secret, stuck, or coasting. Gary specializes in helping leaders increase revenue profitability with less stress by uncovering million-dollar blind spots in time to avoid costly mistakes and make the best business decisions. Carrying out rigorous due diligence and risk assessment reviews and partnering with them on critical fiscal and financial projects, Gary Patterson has learned one thing from analyzing and helping hundreds of companies. What you don't know about your business can cost you your business, which can mean the difference between life and death in your product, business, department, life, or job. But thankfully, today we have the fiscal doctor in the building.
And ready to help.
All right. Very good. So we met last month at the Network Over 40 event over here at the Buckhead Club. How did you like that event?
You know, I've gone to several. It's really a nice event. I mean, it's a nice networking venue. I've told several people about it, and everyone who's gone has been very pleased with the events and the people they meet, which is tough in a town as many networking events as there are.
That's right. That was our first Network Over 40 event, and we participated in On-Site Business Radio. You were one of our first interviews over there. How did you like that?
Nice clip, nice situation on these things with it. I think after they found out that I didn't get shot or get destroyed on the spot, a couple of people I was able to say, you know, they really are nice people.
Right.
You really should go up there and get your interview in.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but your particular interview got more listens than any one of the 20-plus interviews we did that day.
Oh, great.
I don't know if that's because you're such a business celebrity or if you have a large family and friend network who all went online and listened to it. But, yeah, you are our number one interview from that day. So put that in your back pocket and think about that for a while.
No pressure for this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, out of 23 interviews. But, yeah, congratulations. Is there a award? Do you have a certificate or anything?
We'll talk about that after the show. So, and let's talk about a little about your background before we get into the fiscal doctor. You know, where were you and then what brought you to the fiscal doctor?
Well, I'll start it with what my mentor Bill told me. Bill says, keep this stuff simple, Gary. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is three things, and that sounded good. But what he wanted was raise the top line, help him keep more of the bottom line, and then he said life is a lot more fun.
Okay.
So by training, I mean, I sort of wandered into this, everyone asked. I was an undergrad at Ole Miss, an accounting guy that went out to Stanford, got an MBA, and then KPMG, CPA. But I worked with companies that are leaders in companies that wanted to build and sell something. So I am a chief financial officer who became a chief operating officer, technology officer. I became every C-level officer in almost every industry. So I got to the point where I can borrow your watch, his watch, and find out really quick, because we never had enough people, money, or time to fix stuff. So success, not perfection, speed, and strategy.
Very interesting. And then when did you start the fiscal doctor?
I started that about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I really looked at the idea. I had to come back and show something that said I was more than a coach, more strategic than a coach, and less structured than a board member. Mm-hmm. And I've been both. So that sort of middle ground, because that's what a lot of people in the middle market need, somebody to talk to when everyone else is out there asking things and they just want to bounce it off of someone.
Right, right. So about 10 years ago, the fiscal doctor was born, and you've been helping businesses ever since. So what is it about you that helps you hear, see, or feel, the management does not, and help them change that?
Well, it's a couple of things. I mean, the first of which is just when you're in a growth company, like we're going to hear about in the second half of this, when you work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, it's almost impossible to work on the business, not just in the business. The second item, because I've been every functional area, I know how to talk to the CEO or the board of directors. I know numbers and CapEx. And you get really brilliant people in a functional area. They don't know how to tell people what the issues are, to communicate, because there's never enough people, money, and time. And when there's a scarce reallocation of scarce resources, if you aren't crisp, understand what it is, and if you don't have insight, it's too easy for people to say, let's just wait. We don't have time.
Right. But aren't these issues that the CPA is aware of, or the in-house, accountant is aware of, shouldn't they be the ones reporting these problems to the upper management?
Well, once upon a time, I would say the answer would have been yes. However, here's a couple changes. One is just the fact that under the new regulations and how the world works, they don't want them to do this. It's like, oh my goodness, you weren't 100% right. We're just going to sue you or put your name at the front of the paper.
Right.
Lawyers and CPAs don't like that. Oh, CPAs don't like that to happen.
Right. No. And as you said, this changing economy, the changes businesses are experiencing out there today, oftentimes in-house, you aren't able to see those changes that are right in front of you and about to happen. And that's where you can advise them and bring your expertise into the situation.
Well, and here's something. I would have left the answer at that probably 2 years ago, but I'm going to make a new answer now. I'm going to say the thing that people don't think about and don't anticipate is that the traffic cops are hesitant now. I talk to CFOs, COOs, and other people, and think about it this way. The length of time you keep a job keeps narrowing, and the length of time it takes to go find a job keeps growing. That causes people to go ahead and call their shots and say, I don't think I'm going to fight this battle. So unfortunately, if you're the person owning that business, mm-hmm. and you think the CFO or CTO, whoever's going to tell you the stuff, they may not.
No, they may not. You're right. And we hear it all the time here in Business Radio X that a good leader has a better, even better management team. But sometimes that management team doesn't have the answers that the leader knows. And so you need someone who's looking from the outside in to kind of put it all in perspective and recommend those changes that the leadership needs to make.
And to wear the black hat.
Yeah.
I mean, some of this thing, as the years go by, I think more of this is, I'll point out the ugly rat in the corner, that it's a whole lot safer for you, right? You want to stay there, and you want people to like you.
Yeah.
You just as soon not point out this, because there's three bad things. Number one is, you got extra time. You just go solve it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is even worse, probably. It's like, right, we thought you were taking care of that. Evidently, you didn't do as good a job. Or the third one is, you look at it and you say, it really wasn't a problem. You now have an enemy or lost a friend because sales, marketing, whichever, is a little unhappy that you pointed out something in their area and you were wrong.
Yeah, and that's where you come in. You're able to point these things out from a strategic and an understandable position, but you said sometimes it's not what they want to hear. And you may have to put on that black hat, but you're not afraid to tell them what they need to know.
Not afraid to, and I've been there and done that. And I've got story after story, if they want to hear it and buy me coffee someday, of why can't people see these things? Mm-hmm. But when you're head down 60, 70, 80 hours and politically don't want to do it, these things slip by.
Right. But then how does a business know they need help? If they got their head down, they're working, and you're out here, you can't just knock on their door and go, let me help you. They need to actually come find you, don't they?
They need to find me, have a phone call with me or coffee with me, because I can tell you that if they're from 15 to 50 million or larger, mm-hmm. I will guarantee that I'll pay the coffee if I can't find at least one issue that they really should start addressing sooner. Well, usually more.
That's good. So they may not know they need you, but if they just have a cup of coffee with you, then by the time that coffee's finished, they will know I need Gary and I need the fiscal doctor.
Either for an opportunity they're missing or a risk that they just don't want to anticipate. Mm-hmm. When you've done this for 30 years and done it a couple hundred times,
right.
I got better along the way. Not to say I can't get better still as I help somebody else.
Now, tell me a little bit about how this process works. So let's say I know I need your help. How does business find you, first of all, these days?
Well,
through referrals?
Referrals is nice in the other item. I mean, they can find, I've got a ton of collateral out there. I say if you look at LinkedIn, you'll see more about me than even my mother wants to know. Articles, I've got several books in this space of growing business, avoiding risk, strategy.
So, yeah, so your reputation precedes you. But then I call you up and I say, Gary, I need your help. What kind of access do you need to the business? What kind of information do you need? And how long does that process take?
You know, I'll gladly give in. I'll mail anyone a confidentiality agreement and, you know, visit with them. Coffee is easy. If they're out of Atlanta, I just finished coaching in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Initiative through Babson College. And I had six CEOs around the country. I don't even have to see them. So if somebody is listening to this in Chattanooga or St. Louis and says, I'd rather talk to Gary on the phone, that's what Skype is for.
Mm-hmm.
If they're here in Atlanta, coffee is fine. I can go in there and tell them a couple things to bring to the meeting. And I've done enough speeches or presentations. In 20 or 30 minutes, I can show them, and I'll be glad to share this little handout. I've given it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show them at least one area where they can grow their business or keep more money, or they really ought to solve a risk.
Yeah. You mentioned this handout. I'm looking at it now, where the fiscal doctor dramatically accelerate correct fiscal leadership decisions. And you've got a good group of talking points here, really kind of crystallizing why business needs you, and especially if they need to reduce the risk and help them on their bottom line. So, what are the three biggest challenges about meeting someone's budget?
You know, I tell you, and this is going to be unique. I'll ask this question to someone and say, it's usually as simple as the biggest thing the people listening to this guy is, you know, it's not just this payroll. When I say how many people are concerned about the next three payrolls, small business is.
Mm-hmm.
IBM, people don't know, and it's changed. I mean, most people forget that at one time, IBM had a whole department. Their whole mission in life was bring enough cash in that we can cover this month's payroll. Now, that's IBM. So if you're a $10, $50, $100 million company, usually it's visibility on cash. I'll make a comment that says that is the moment you stop creating your next product or service is the day you begin to die.
Yeah.
And that's, since this is football country.
Yes, sir.
There is, and I pulled this up to have it. There's an article that says the Big 12 faces, they're either going to expand or die.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how they almost died.
Yeah.
And right now, if they don't expand, they may perish because they're going to go from being a major league to a secondary league if they don't make things happen in the next round table.
Well, yeah, so they know what's on the table for them, and they've got to make some changes. Otherwise, they will not be around much longer. And but that's kind of what you do as well. You're able to advise these businesses on what changes they need to make. Oftentimes, business don't know who their best clients are and how they can maximize their earnings with those clients. And that's something you can speak on as well.
From 10 to 50% of people really don't know where they make their money. The question, I've looked at that. And the 10% is really, if you talk to me a little longer, I can get the 10 up to more than that, is where do you really make money? Because if you don't make money, businesses don't survive. Everybody thinks business is easy and all sorts of things, but business is tough. There's some great people out there. And I mean, I've been the CEO or president. I've usually been the other ones. When you have to worry about making payroll for, 10, 50, 100, 1,000 people, you get a different perspective on life about the second or third time you go through that process.
Yeah, and we know with business there comes risk. You got to be willing to take risk head on. With business there comes uncertainty. If you're not certain of one thing, you are certain of that, and also changes. So being a good leader of that business, you've got to be willing to embrace all of those. And that can be very frightening to some folks. And they find what they're good at and they just stay on that lane and they go down that road and they don't pivot and they don't change. And that can really ultimately hurt their business.
Well, that's the third category we talked about when you're nice enough to introduce me, is it's so easy to get stuck on the idea that we were great last year, 5 years ago. Who cares? Unfortunately, is the issue. And if you sit there and don't change, there's somebody up with a great technology like we're going to hear about in a few minutes that's sitting right there ready to come out from nowhere. And you can go from being first or second in your space to you may not even be around.
Right. We're talking with Gary Patterson, the fiscal doctor, helps businesses find the million-dollar blind spot before he finds you here on Georgia Business Radio. What about this thought that people may have that reaching outside the business, getting help, is a sign of weakness?
I'll say that it's also a sign of job security and keeping your company around, because I've been there and I've erred on the side of, oh, don't spend any money. We really, really don't need to do that. And that's okay, so long as there's not a problem. And if a problem comes up, the answer is, how come, Susan, you didn't do that? If you'd only told us that this could be a big problem, we would have let you spend the money. In essence, I think it's called, throw Susan under the bus if a problem comes up. And no one can be an expert on anything. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, on everything right. Anymore. World moves too fast.
It certainly does. And you speak on these things. You go around and speak. What kind of groups do you speak to?
And I say in Atlanta, I will speak for a cup of coffee and a bagel.
Okay.
on these things. So I'll speak to small groups or chambers. In the last 3 weeks, I've spoken at National Speakers Association and a breakout group, which is mainly individuals and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I did a webinar for the Conference Board of Canada, which is about as corporate as you can get. I think I was the only individual practitioner company they've had in a long time.
Is that right?
On the topics. Right. And we had a one-hour session, same issues. Different flavors, different categories, the same thing we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. The big companies in the U.S. and Canada, they've got some of the same concerns, but they do think they know how to cover the next three payrolls. And someone listening to this may say, I'll settle for the next three payrolls, Gary. I'll worry about being Fortune 500 later.
Right. In some of your presentations, you may speak on organizational black holes and taboos and dealing with difficult and delicate issues. Man, I tell you, you've got enough knowledge and experience. You could have your own show. This little segment right here is just not enough. We could go on and on about this, I tell you. So, but you have a book out there. Let's tell folks how they can find that book or get more information about the Million-Dollar Blind Spots 2020 Vision for Financial Growth. Is that on your website?
Well, actually, it is at Amazon. It's better. They process it better than I do, and it's available, interestingly enough, for people. There is a paper version.
Okay.
An audio version and a Kindle version.
Well, that's good.
We cover the gamut.
Right. So you're able to identify the 800-pound gorillas and the 800 dead rats in the building. Did you hear him say that earlier, Rich?
Yeah, I stepped outside, made sure there weren't any dead rats in the hallway. Yeah.
I don't think we have any here at Buckhead Business Radio X, but Gary would spot them and tell us if they were here.
Yeah, we're definitely a rat-free zone, yeah.
Let's hope so. Well, we can't rely on our success of past year, and we got to always look forward to the future and keep changing and adjusting as business adjusts around us.
No, that is a great point. And Gary, would you mind, at the top of the hour, you mentioned about a mentor and those 3 points. I was making notes, but I missed the second one. It was first, build the top line, right?
More money on the top line.
And what was the bottom
sales line? The second one was the bottom line, is he wanted to keep more of the bottom line, because you and I both have seen situations where they say, go out and go from 30 million to 50 million. And the sales team hears that and they go sell stuff.
Right.
Now, you notice I didn't say sell profitable stuff.
Right.
I said they go sell things.
Right. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people wake up sometimes and they make less money at 50 million than they did at 30. Bill wanted us to make more money on the bottom line. He liked to have money to reinvest in the business and to spend on Bill.
I mean, it always astounds me. You have these uber successful companies, these multi, billion-dollar or international companies, and they go under. And I'm like, how is that possible? They reach that level. But I guess it kind of speaks to the point you just mentioned, is that they're not watching the bottom line and that they're doing incredible sales, but the margins aren't there, or their cost overruns, and there's not a doctor in the house to keep an eye on things, right?
Oh, Gary Patterson did not help them out.
All right.
Well, one thing's for certain. Gary can help you. The fiscal doctor can help you. If you're not out there changing as business changes, you're taking a huge risk. It's no risk at all if you call the fiscal doctor. How can folks find you or get in touch with you or learn more about your services?
If they'll call me at 678-319-4739, 678-319-4739, or the website is www.fiscaldoctor.com. There's several free things, and I'll toss in a 2-minute survey of 20 questions. Just tell me, do you want the one for the small 1 to 5 person firm or the much larger? A freebie 2-minute assessment.
Excellent. Sir, you are a rock star in the business world, and we do appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us here on Georgia Business Radio. Would you mind sticking around as we turn our attention over here to our next guest?
Glad to.
Appreciate that, and we may come back to you here in just a few more moments with a few questions, but let's turn our attention now here on Georgia Business Radio to Peter Stacho, co-founder and CEO of SpeakPage. Previously, he led the design effort for Turner Broadcasting's internal apps platform as a UX architect. Apps they designed included the content management system behind CNN Go, and it was a 2014 Digital Innovation Awards Best Digital Strategy winner. Turner's on-demand CMS and automated live video feed ingest system, which has successfully replaced the legacy software inside CNN's newsrooms across the globe. Peter has won half a dozen awards and actively contributes to the open source community. Welcome, Peter Stacho.
Happy to be here.
All right, man. Good to have you in the studio here today. So CNN, you spent some time over there. How did that go for you?
I did. They were great to me. I was fortunate enough to work with some very talented people, and they let me do a lot of cool things. Actually, in my first meeting there, when I walked in, one of the execs looked at me and asked me if I was 12.
And now you're 14, right?
Right. Yeah, now I'm 14, and they let me do some really cool stuff, and so I got to be involved.
No, it sounds like you changed the internal workings of CNN and some other platforms over there. How did that all come about?
Yeah, so I started out working on that CMS for CNN Go, which is their internet TV experience, and then that slowly transitioned into me working on some of the other apps within the platform, and slowly I worked my way up to actually designing for the entire platform and a team of about 100 developers.
Oh, that's very cool. And so, before your time at CNN, what was your backstory previous to that? I mean, were you a college graduate? Did you just learn all this in the basement of your home? How did this all come about?
So, Gary has all these designations. I'm actually a college dropout. So.
Right? Hey, but these days, that doesn't mean much, right? You know, you can certainly be successful without going through the formal channels of education. So, but then you were at CNN, and then you had this idea. Tell me how the Speak Page came about.
So the Speak Page I did, it didn't actually come about at CNN. I've been working with my co-founder, Quentin Pike, for the last 5 years. We met working on an app called Fit Radio, which now has over 1 million users. And he led the development. I led the design efforts. And we went on to work at several jobs together. And at our last contract position, we found that we were staring at the computer a lot, but we also were surfing the internet at the same time. And we came across a lot of great long format articles that we just didn't have the time to read. And when you stare at a computer all day, you don't want to go home and stare at it some more. So we created SpeakPage to enable listening to this type of content.
So it kind of was born out of your own desire to want to have more content and easily understood and read to you via the web.
Right. We definitely wanted to build a product that we want to use.
Right. So what's the ideal user for this product, SpeakPage?
Absolutely anyone. So if you put SpeakPage on an article, about 15% of the people that visit that article are going to actually play it and listen to it. And that number's only growing. Amazon and Apple are all working on devices that are constantly listening and taking people away from actually using graphical user interfaces. And so you want to say things like, "Hey Siri, read me the New York Times," but you don't want to hear that in a text-to-speech artificial voice. Mm-hmm. People just don't have the tolerance for poor audio quality.
No doubt. And so would the website developer want your application, the Speak Page, or is it more for users, on their end?
So right now, Speak Page is targeted towards internet publications. People making blog posts, creating content. But we've also seen a lot of interest in the audiobook market and also in e-learning and children's education, helping kids learn how to read.
But does the web page or whoever's providing this content have to reach out to you, or do you provide that content directly to the page and then the user ends up purchasing that?
So SpeakPage works a lot like YouTube. You basically sign up for an account and you can copy and paste your content in and request a narration. You choose a narrator, get the narration back, and you're able to embed iframe codes within your content that will actually generate the player on your website.
I see. And now SpeakPage is fully up and operational and running it, and everybody can find it?
Private beta right now, so you can request early access.
All right. And do you have a launch date in mind?
We are going to be launching within the next 2 months. We just want to make sure that everything's all tightened up, and we're working with some larger publications to make sure everything's tip-top.
Yeah, that's good. Well, how can we help you here at Georgia Business Radio? Are you looking for funding still? Do you need some more contacts out there? How can we help?
So we're completely self-funded. We have some investors knocking, and we've been talking to Amazon and the folks over at Audible. They're very interested in what we're doing. But no plans to take on funding quite yet.
Okay. And so how do you find some of these narrators out there? I know there's a whole world on the internet of people out there wanting to offer their services, voiceovers and such, but do you have a special niche you're looking for?
So we're looking for a very conversational tone. We actually kind of have to backtrack because professional voice talent is really used to kind of enunciating and making things for radio and for commercials, and SpeakPage really needs to be more conversational, and it needs to sound like someone's just reading to you in a conversational tone, not necessarily reading you a commercial.
Now, I think this is a great application for the visually impaired as well. Is there some sort of use for that?
Absolutely. So we want to improve accessibility for everyone as well.
And I could also see myself using this service as I'm driving down the road. I'm stuck in Atlanta traffic like we all know we are most of the time. I'm on my smartphone, which I shouldn't be, and I come across a good article, and then I could just hit the SpeakPage play button, and then it reads that article as I'm sitting in traffic. Is that another use?
That's right. And if you're actually listening here in the office on your desktop, SpeakPage tracks your listening progress across devices. So you can listen to half an article, pause it, and then pick back up in your car right where you left off.
And so it's useful on your mobile device as well as on your desktop or laptop.
Yes. And there's absolutely no need to install any additional apps or anything. You just hit the play button right on the page.
Oh, nice. And so you have a service. I would sign up at SpeakPage. I have to pay to use the service. Is there like an entry level or a premium service, or is there different levels that I can get involved with?
So we're going to have a freemium model, and that's going to be tiered plans. And our narration pricing is at 2 cents a word. So a 1,000-word article is going to cost about $20 to narrate.
How long would that take?
We can do it within a couple hours, but we're trying to get that time down to about 30 minutes as we bring on more and more narrators.
Yeah, definitely. And then at some point, I imagine you're going to have SpeakPage available for every website on the internet. That's a big task.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So there's lots of room to grow. What is on the horizon for SpeakPage? You're going to be launching, you said, in a couple months. What's your next step after that?
Our next step after that is just adding more functionality. We've had people request things like being able to change the speed of the narration. We also want to build an app that makes it easy for you to save articles as you come across them online, so you can get back to a reading list once you get in your car. And then we also, we want to take this global. We believe we can do different languages, translations, things of that nature.
Now that's a good point there. There are so many languages and countries this could be applied to, for those people who may be unable to read, children, older folks who maybe have degenerating eyesight. This would be a great way for them to come on the web and learn more. So we're speaking with Peter Stacho, co-founder and CEO of SpeakPage. You can go to speakpage.com to find more information about that. And so you guys are located here in Atlanta. Where particularly?
Yeah, so right now we have an office in Sandy Springs, but we also have a scholarship to the Atlanta Tech Village. So once our lease runs up,
we're going to have that somewhere in there. I knew Atlanta Tech Village was involved somehow, some way. A lot of times people come in through this studio and tell us about their app or their new web program that they're developing, and Atlanta Tech Village has their hands just about everywhere in this city. Is that right, Rich?
Yes, I would concur. Yeah.
Oh, very good. So,
I got a couple of questions here for a second. You're Rich Casanova, producer, engineer, and reminding our listeners, you're listening to Georgia Business Radio every Friday morning at 10 a.m. and some great guests in the studio here. Just quick question for Peter. All this technology, the video internet application you're doing for CNN, earlier I was taking some video here in the studio with my flip phone. Can you help me upgrade that? Or no, I was just teasing, but that's pretty impressive. But and then I got a little nervous, Ryan, when you volunteered, how can we help you with some money and funding? We don't have any funding money here. Yeah, there's no angels in the building.
No, we can
we just
help
got rid of the rats, whatever. Yeah.
We help get the word out. We know a lot of people. We have some connections in the business world here in Atlanta, and we always want to be able to help businesses, take it to the next level.
But on kind of a serious note, I can see the applications. We were talking about this earlier before we came on the air, Ryan and I, about I went to your site, watched the demo listened to the demo, I should say, right? It is very conversational, the voice the gentleman has listened to, but that Audible, you're having conversation with them. I'm a big fan of their service. Do you see partnership or them? Where's the play? Or I guess it's too early stage, whatever, right?
It is too early. They've asked us to demo in the next couple of weeks, but they're really excited about what we're doing. I think the applications for the audiobook market come from, we actually have a patent pending on navigable web audio content, and that's a way to visually navigate an audio file. So right now, if you're inside Audible's app, what you'll be skipping through when you skip through chapters is you're actually skipping through separate audio files. So each chapter will be a separate audio file. SpeakPage allows you to take one big audio file and annotate it with sections, markers. You can even get as granular as annotating each individual paragraph and then being able to navigate back to that via playback icon within the text itself.
Wow. That's amazing. And to the point about if it's 2 cents a word, you say 1,000, if it's $20, once you make that purchase, can you go back and re-listen to that, or is the cost then replicated, or?
So you do get to do some pickups. If the narrator makes mistakes, you can use our annotation interface to actually mark where they've made mistakes and send it back for a reread.
No, I guess what I was saying is once you've paid for that article, do you kind of own it as far as the listener or the customer? Can you go back and I can listen to it again?
Yes. So you
once you've downloaded it, it's yes. Part of your library.
So you don't download. We actually stream all the audio down from our cloud.
Right. All right.
That sounds good. And certainly we hope people will go out there and get involved with SpeakPage, start using the application, sharing it with their friends and family. And it can be really a go-to thing, whether you're on the treadmill at the gym and you want to have some articles read to you, or perhaps that you're laying on the beach drinking your Mai Tais, Rich.
And, I can meet my Corona, yeah.
And you want some of these articles to be read to you in a nice, conversational, easy-to-understand voice.
Well, a lot of times I find myself at a coffee house working remotely, you know, just to kind of get out there and mix it up a little bit. But there's so many distractions with all the barista noise, whatever, right? So I will listen to like some audio on YouTube. But now, and I agree, I see some great articles like on LinkedIn or some great people send me over a blog. But I'm trying to work and I can't read at the same time. So now you're saying I can listen to that and continue my work.
Yes, absolutely. So you can actually listen and work with any other apps, not just on your desktop, but also on your mobile phone. So if you want to, if you're in the browser, you come across an article, press play, you can listen and then actually go back to messaging with your friends or checking up on your Facebook posts while consuming the content.
I think more and more people are accessing the web through their mobile devices, especially their smartphones. I recently heard over 90% of Google searches are done on a smartphone. So if they're looking for content, it's going to be on a mobile device.
Yes.
Although we do access our desktops and laptops quite frequently, this is in our hand all the time. We go from room to room in the house with it. We walk from the building to lunch with it. So people will always be accessing the web, and it's going to be evolving from there. So any thoughts on that, on how you know the web's evolving, how applications are evolving for the future?
I mean, we're going to stop staring at these screens, you know, the kind of hunched over, I call it glow face when my wife is on Snapchat. Constantly staring into this device is just not going to be around anymore. You're going to have services that are always on, always listening, and AI that's going to do what you want. So you say, hey, order me a pack of paper towels, and Amazon's Echo is even now able to send it right to your doorstep without you ever having to look at anything. So being able to consume written content in an audio format, I think, is going to be extremely important, because we don't want to listen to those AI voices, and it's going to be a very long time before they come around. A computer just isn't able to read like a human, because a computer will never understand the context of that article.
It's very intelligent, very insightful. Thank you for sharing all of your insight here today. How can listeners find out more information about yourself or SpeakPage?
www.speakpage.com. And then you can follow us on Twitter at SpeakPage and Facebook.com/SpeakPage
and,
as well.
And maybe I'm a young developer out there listening to the show and I want some information about how to become an entrepreneur. Would you be willing to share?
Oh, absolutely. I'm willing to help.
maybe talk about that for just a moment. What are some maybe pitfalls or things to avoid for a young entrepreneur out there, or some experiences you may have learned here recently that really helped you be successful as well?
So what I see a lot of founders doing is seeking investment before they even have a way to make money or a revenue model. And that just doesn't quite work here in Atlanta. It may work out in the valley. But here the investors, you know, they're not willing unless you can show some kind of revenue being generated. I think that's extremely important. And you want to make sure that your founding team knows the product inside and out, you know, technical founders, developers, designers.
No, good stuff. Thanks for sharing. And so we'll kind of take off your CEO and founder developer hat for a moment. Let's just ask you a couple of personal questions. When you're not at work, when you've put in a long day at the office and you're out there changing the world, what do you do to get away from it all and kind of take your mind off things?
I spend time with my wife. We train our German Shepherd. And actually, I guess I'll make the announcement on the radio. We're expecting a baby.
Oh, so. Congratulations, Rich. Mark this down. This is a great moment in Georgia Business Radio history. A baby on the way. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And so you've had your time training the dog. Now you'll be training a baby.
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
Let's hope the dog is trained first.
Well, you know, ironically enough, I used to be in the dog training business. I did that for a number of years. I trained dogs. Actually, I trained people, because that's where it really starts.
You're right.
The dog will always listen. The people, not so much. So, but good luck with that. I mean, do you like to get away? Do you go to places? Do you have a favorite lake house or the beach or somewhere you kind of, you know, take your mind off things?
Yeah, my getaway is still at the office.
Is it? Right. What about a book that you've recently read or recently were inspired by that you maybe could recommend to our listeners?
Look, I definitely listened to Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. Great book for young entrepreneurs and for anybody looking to be a CEO.
Right. Well, that's a good recommendation there. You know, we often ask that question. We find that, you know, people don't read books to take their mind off things. They read books to get more into what their business may be. And you're no exception there. So keep up the good work. Remind our listeners again how they can find you.
Speakpage.com.
Speakpage.com. That's Thank you, Peter Stacho, co-founder and CEO, for joining us. And we'll turn our attention back here to Gary Patterson, the fiscal doctor. What about you? When you're not out there helping businesses succeed or avoid failure, what do you do to take your mind off things?
Well, my wife loves to either the museums we have or some of these open air things. I like to get some fresh air. And we're in the process. We're going to go up to Helen next month to a week, so that we can just sort of sit there by the little river, I guess, with the Chattahoochee, where you can't quite step across it, but you can sure wade it easily. And just go up there and do nothing but wander around town and do nothing.
So no emails, no laptops, no smartphones, no business recalls or anything. You're just going to spend a whole week with your wife in the mountain house.
Well, not quite that way. Yeah.
You'll do your best,
she
right?
She will.
Yes.
She will do that.
Right.
So, I own these things with it. I don't unplug quite as well as she does. So.
It is a beautiful spot up there. We certainly hope you enjoy your time up there in Helen, Georgia. And what about you? Is there a recent book that you've read, other than your own, that you could share with our listeners that motivated or inspired you?
You know, I'm going back and even rereading some of Marshall Goldsmith. Is, you know, it's his name. Some people are going to know, and if they don't, they should. He is basically considered to be the premier business coach in the world. It's $250,000 a year for him to coach you, if he will take you, and there's a 2-year waiting list.
Oh, man.
So, but probably you've heard of What Got You Here Won't Get You There. It's been out. He has a new book, but I'm going back and reading again What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And there's things that, A, I forget, B, I never learned, and C, I might have known about it, but I don't do it.
All right. Well, that's a great recommendation. We encourage our listeners to follow Gary's advice there and go get that book. Again, remind our listeners how they can find you or get in touch with the fiscal doctor.
www.fiscaldoctor.com. Think Make More Money, Finance, System, Strategy, Speed.
And you're also on LinkedIn, so if folks want to reach out to you through there, they can find you on LinkedIn/Gary W. Patterson. Also on Facebook, follow him on Twitter, ERM Advocate as well.
Correct.
Notice you had a lot of Twitter followers, so keep up the good work there on the Twitter sphere. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, my friend, you're a rock star. You could do a whole show. We hope you come back and share some more insightful knowledge with us, and look forward to some good things from the fiscal doctor going down the road.
And I hope you'll be able to have coffee with me after this.
Definitely. I have something I think you'd like, and I trust I've tried to make sure that at least one tidbit of this will help somebody make money in the next week.
I think so. That's one of our missions here at Georgia Business Radio, is help people get the word out about their business, and you certainly did here today. And so we encourage folks to reach out to Gary if you have any questions about your business or any thoughts along those lines. And so, Rich, I think that puts a wrap on things here today.
I believe so. Great show, Ryan. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 2 pages of notes, mostly just scribbled here or whatever. But real quick, before I forget, who is the author of, you just mentioned, of What Got You Here Won't Get You There?
Marshall Goldsmith.
Goldsmith.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I like you said, I think this is the first official announcement we've had on the radio of a baby announcement. So it is a milestone. Kudos and congratulations. When's the birth again?
It's going to be March 15th, March
16th. Oh, okay, wow. Congratulations.
Well, yeah.
So actually, your kid then could be on a future guest on Kids Business Radio one day. Yeah, we do that.
That's right. We just had an episode last Saturday, and we feature kid entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Some of these young kids have been featured on Shark Tank and have actually gotten deals. They're more successful at 9 years old than I am in my middle age here. But we encourage the kid entrepreneurs and really are motivated and inspired by just the passion and creativity they have
for their
widget out there in the world.
It's just amazing. And then another show that would kind of piggyback on, it's radio, so you can't see Gary's amazing tie, what we were talking about before the show. Gary, what's on your tie there?
It's, you know, it's basically a number of euros. It's the money, make more money tie, but I can also go to a conservative meeting and people won't notice it.
Right, yeah. And so we, just because of the tie, we should have him on International Business Radio.
International Business Radio. We've already got a great lineup.
Yeah.
People waiting in the wings to get that show.
It's already booked out for August, and we're taking bookings now for September. So
make sure you tune into that. Go to internationalbusinessradio.com to get more information about how you can listen or be a guest on that show. Yeah.
And I like your idea. I concur. I think Gary should have a $1 million radio show. Yeah. And we could do a radio show with Peter, but then it seems odd. So we'd be talking. You'd have to then transcribe that back into text. So it's kind of the reverse of what you're doing. But great show. Great lineup coming around the corner here. And any other announcements?
No, just like to leave our listeners with this. If your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on our contact page at buckheadbusinessradiox.com and pitch us your story. On behalf of Rich Casanova, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.